Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first episode of the Parts Now Known series that we're doing through Spoon Mob. My name's Ray. I'm your host. Co-host over here is Ben. And we're going to go basically one by one through all the Parts Unknown episodes. So it's going to be, there's like 11 seasons, and it's about somewhere between 8 and 10 episodes a season. So probably about like 100 episodes, putting these out like once a week. And then, who knows after that at that point, but kind of the concept, as I've mentioned before on previous podcasts, is just something that I thought was super interesting, especially after just finishing rewatching, the series kind of right around when coronavirus started. And then I was kind of pretty desperate for TV there and went down some really strange paths into some shows that are no longer on the air and stuff like that. So, yeah, and nobody else did it. And especially with coming through with, you know, June is, you have Bourdain Day, which, you know, his birthday's in there, as well as the day that he died too. And there was, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, tributes and posts and articles and stuff that came out during that time frame, but nobody's really done anything. Like I said, I know they were working on like a biography book. I don't know if that's come out yet or if that's coming out later this year or what. I'll have to actually look that up. I forgot, but yeah, so, you know, that's kind of the theme of these episodes that are going to be coming out on Wednesdays. It's just a show that I really enjoy, and, you know, as we mentioned, you know, Ben's kind of the one who started kind of getting me into it, and so I felt it'd be appropriate and fun for him to kind of go back through the episodes too as well. He likes to travel and eat and you haven't watched, when's the last time that you watched a Parts Unknown episode before this?
I would say probably within the last year, but it was like, I think I saw a post on Instagram about Bourdain breaking down Waffle House, which is a place that, like, I'm from the South, so I don't know, they're everywhere, and I think it's a place that you either love it or you hate it. And usually you end up there at 2 a.m. I thought he did a good job of breaking it down. But point being, I was like, well, I need to go watch that Charleston episode with Sean Brock and Rodney Scott. And there's a few other chefs in there. But being from South Carolina, like, I think that's the first episode I made you watch was the No Reservations in Charleston. Because being from a small state, like, you want to, like, hey, look, well, he's on TV, you know? So, yeah, so I'm excited to go back through it, and I mean, we started for the very first episode, kind of decided to do it chronologically.
Yeah, it was just the easiest way, because then it gets, then you start like picking and choosing, like, I don't really want to watch it, you know, and then
right. The
only part where it might make sense, and we have a long time before we get there, is when you get to like the last season of episodes, it gets a little wonky. I mean, you can go in the order that they aired, but there was like, the last like full one that he completed was like Kenya, and then there's like three after it that are all done with him to varying degrees of length. Which, I mean, they're all well done, except for I have some major issues with the actual last episode, but we'll get to that when we get there.
Okay.
It'll probably come out a little bit before then, but so yeah, like probably the, like when you get to the 11th episode, 11th season of episodes, you know, you might be able to kind of move stuff around once you get to the last four or five. But yeah, we're just gonna go, you know, in order, just as the easiest way for everybody else if they want to follow along or whatever as they listen to this, which hopefully you do. I don't know of too many people that have rewatched any of it recently, and a lot of it still holds up. You know, there's a couple things here or there where kind of the culture has shifted probably in those countries a little bit, but a lot of it is still issues that are around today too as well. So the first episode, he went to Myanmar, which is Burma, and in case if you don't know where that is, as most people have no idea, it's basically in between, if I remember the map, it's in between,
it's north of Laos, right?
Yeah,
I had to look it up.
And it's in between like China and India, kind of, but it's not Tibet. Tibet's right. its own separate thing, even though like that doesn't exist according to the Chinese, or whatever. I might actually, let me just pull it up here real quick again too, because I have, you have no idea where Myanmar is, or Burma, which is what it was called, I think, before. I don't know the whole history. I didn't really go into it. Yeah,
your assessment was pretty much right. The northern part of
yeah, it's Myanmar. North of Thailand. It's yeah, like northwest of Laos. And then, yeah, it's in between Bangladesh and China. And then, like, Tibet is north of it. And it's the whole country. I mean, it's pretty much on the Bay of Bengal and looks like Andaman Sea. Kind of the way it runs. Kind of runs down the coast of Thailand, too, a little bit.
And I think we found from the episode that, I mean, well, obviously British colonialism had a lot to do with it. But if you were to look at the dishes... just knowing the very little that I know about that part of Asia and China, you can kind of see it's like a, you can tell that it's located there because everything kind of pulls
from those. Yeah. From all like the surrounding countries and everything. Yeah. So the capital is Yangon, which was formerly Rangoon. It's the country's largest city, home to bustling markets, numerous parks and lakes. And this is just like a quick fact thing on Google. Big Buddhist population, and I think, and he went later in the episode, Shwengadong Pagoda, says, which contains Buddhist relics and dates to the 6th century. I believe that's where he went.
The temples.
Yeah, I believe that's actually what it's called. But so this is the first episode, and he moved, so he did no reservations with Travel Channel. And then, like, his deal was kind of up, and he moved the show over to CNN because they had better resources. They were going to allow him to do whatever he wanted, so he didn't have to do any of those. There's, if you watched some of the No Reservations episodes, there's a stark contrast between how they're filmed and how Parts Unknown is. Parts Unknown is, like, it's more information-heavy. It's a little bit darker, so it's more real. But like there's parts in No Reservations when he's with the Travel Channel that you could tell it's like the it's like a producer's segment. So like if you break out the episode like in commercial breaks, right, you have probably five or six different segments, and there's always one in there that it was like clearly like, yeah, we have to go see, you know, this tourist trap or go do this thing or this event thing. Right. And I remember like Bert Kreischer when he was with the Travel Channel, I mean, he would talk about that stuff too when he was doing those shows that he had with them too. Yeah,
I think there was also, if I remember correctly, and you kind of said this, but just the resource part, I think because CNN is a journalistic entity, it allowed him to get visas, or I don't know, maybe not get visas, but to visit countries that Travel Channel couldn't get him into.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, yeah, I never really thought
about
that.
So, like, maybe, I don't even know that he could have gotten to Myanmar. I know that they talk about, I mean, can we go ahead and start
talking
about
yeah. that?
They talk about the triangle that it's safe to travel in, and then the rest of it, essentially, you can't go to.
Yeah, it's like they opened up basically, like, the capital city, which is in, like, the center of the country. Mm-hmm. That was all, like, open to Western visitors, Westernization, if you want to call it. But he said in the episode, like, around the edges is all still, like, government control, really, yeah, just the way it still was. Like, there's no change at the time. And this is the first episode. This is, what, like, 2013? Let me just double check.
Might have been 2011.
Or it's 2011. It's, yeah, there's a weird overlap with the other show that he's doing for the Travel Channel, too. He was doing, like, this...
layover show?
Yeah. And because that all came out in like 2011, 2012.
Looks like 2013.
2013 is the first. Yeah. So filmed probably 2013, 2012, depending on. Because I remember, I think he said in like interviews, it took for them to do kind of like him to go back and do the voiceovers and stuff. It was a pretty lengthy process. Like, I want to say like almost like 6 months, but I'm not 100% certain. That seems almost too long.
Yeah. Well, and if you listen, and that's what made the show kind of had this other layer to it, but he was always, you could tell he was a writer, the way that he would narrate the show and what he would put in there. And Like, there was a lot of thought behind it. It's not, it wasn't a, you know, hey, look over here. This is, these are these temples and they were built here. Like, it's like, there's always a little more context and meaning behind what he's trying to get across.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, as I mentioned, this is kind of like my third time going through it. And when you're actually like trying to like take notes and pay attention to certain segments, it's definitely a different viewing experience. And it was very strange for me, somebody who, I don't want to say idolizes, because that's almost like too strong of a word. Like, you should never really idolize anybody, but somebody who's just like a big fan and was influenced, as so many people were, by Bourdain. And the first scene, like, there's no opening, like, there's no opening credits either. Like, it doesn't have like the theme song in there.
It didn't?
No. At least not that I remember. Or if it did, it was at the front and then they went into the episode. There wasn't no like 2 minutes, 1 minute thing, and then the theme song and the beginning credits and then back to him. So the way they like set that up was pretty interesting. Is kind of like they just launched into it. And then there's the, like, the first time you see him is like, it's a scene of him, and not to step on some of the categories we're going to do later, but it's like him walking through the streets and it's like, it's dark, and then you hear him, and then it flipped, then like the next time you see him, like, there's like a street lamp. So it was like really interesting, kind of like the way that they shot that. It's like very intentional of like, clearly this is going to be darker than what we were doing before, that you know from my work, and also like, here I am kind of thing.
Yeah,
almost like a Broadway kind of like, the curtain opened and
yeah,
here he is kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, this is probably, it's so much better than No Reservations, just this series as a whole. And I think that it's, I mean, it's probably the most important and maybe the most influential travel, like, culture food show probably that's ever been done. I mean, there's nothing that really compares to it.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, especially that has the kind of the far-reaching impact that it does. And just people that are either familiar with the show or really loved it, or, you know, just loved Bourdain, probably from the show. I mean, that's how I was introduced to him.
Going through kind of, so, you know, the episode begins and you know, they kind of get to him and he's kind of talking about the political unrest in Myanmar and the things that are changing and everything. And there's one part in there, I think they said like Obama was the first like president to visit the area. And it was just kind of like, ah, just the days where fucking we had a president that would actually go to countries and shit like that. Like, it's like, can we fucking go back to those days? Like, can you just like,
that you could just be proud of, whether you agree with all his policies or not. You'd be like, hey, that's the president.
Yeah. And most people that don't like Obama, like, let's face facts, like, most of them don't like him because he's black. Like, I'll just fire that off right now. Like,
yeah, I mean, you could probably make a case that that's true for a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to.
Based on the people that are so like, there's still people that are like, oh no, it's Obama's fault. And it's like, he hasn't been in office for almost 4 years. Like, we're coming up on 4 years. It's three and a half for sure. Like, that's a long lag time that you still want to blame the previous dude. Like, you know, you can get a year. Like, even I'll give you two if you want to blame him for some shit. But like, once you get into the third year, it's like, nah, man. Like, you're talking 2 years in and you still want to blame the previous dude? Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm still mad at Harding. So, I mean, I just hold a grudge.
But yeah, that was, I just thought that was interesting. I was like, oh yeah, Obama. But
I'll tell you the first thing I wrote down.
Yeah.
I hope I don't step on a category, but I just
go for
this out there. So just with the opening, it kind of goes through like, I mean, I feel like you see people getting hosed down and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no political freedom, no freedom of speech. And the first thing I wrote down was just Burma, fun place, you know? And it's like, and that's really how they kick it off. It's like, hey, this is not, you know, this place has been through a lot.
Yeah,
we're here, and you know what I didn't do, which I should have done, is like, before we did the episode, is like, where are we at today? And that's probably maybe when we do some of these there, these countries, but even our country has changed a lot in those 7 years. So it was just, it was really interesting to think about. And I thought some of the other themes they got into politically with the kind of the Orwellian, you know, everything being watched, you know, speech being monitored, going to jail for saying the wrong thing, is kind of interesting as far as what we're going through in this country with cancel culture in a way. Is that, you know, you say the wrong thing and your career's in jeopardy or,
yeah,
or anything like that. So I found some parallels. And what I found interesting too was, you know, kind of his assertion that just because it's okay today, like these things happen quickly and it could be back to the way it was in just a matter of months, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the points that they kind of like danced around was like, yeah, this country is, you know, reopening stuff or opening stuff and changing the way they do things in like the capital city and giving people more freedoms and stuff like that. But it all could have just been for show for like, and yeah, we didn't really follow up on this, but like it all could have just been for show for like a year. And then like they clamp back down on that. I mean, yeah, it's not a country that you hear in the news because it doesn't have any real relevance to, at least for us here in the United States. Like they're not like a big trade partner. I don't think we're importing, exporting a whole lot of goods to Myanmar or vice versa. So like they're kind of probably fall in like the, like almost like do not touch kind of region part of Southeast Asia and stuff for us, because it's so close to China where like they don't like, I mean, what we're not, I know we can't say anything. We can't acknowledge Thailand being its own country, or we can't,
Taiwan.
Taiwan. Sorry. Yeah. We're not allowed to like say like they have a president or anything like that, at least from like a governmental political standpoint. But the same isn't like, it's like the same with like the Dalai Lama, because like China kidnapped like the next person that was supposed to be the Dalai Lama.
I had no idea about
this. If you want to go to
this right now,
so if you want to go down a real strange rabbit hole, it's like you have the Dalai Lama and the whole thing is like reincarnation. So like when he dies, like he's reborn into just like another body, right? And it's supposed to be, so you have like the 7th, 8th version of the Dalai Lama, but it's supposed to be like different human form. And again, I'm bastardizing this, so actually do proper research if you're really interested in this topic. And but yeah, so because China believes that like Tibet, which is where the Dalai Lama is a part of China and a natural part of China, like they like kidnap the person that, you know, who was supposed to be the next Dalai Lama. And there's some weird thing like where they can like, two of them can like you can have the Dalai Lama still living and that, but it's like the, they have to find like the younger, there's a Keanu Reeves movie about all this too.
Okay. Well then, yeah, it's totally valid.
I can't remember the name of it though, but yeah. But they like kidnap like the next person almost kinda.
Yeah.
It's super strange. Just look it up on your own. Go down that rabbit hole. You don't have shit else to do. Like, come on, let's face facts. You're out of TV just like the rest of us. You're watching shitty ass movies that you've seen like probably too many times, as well as some good ones, hopefully, that you do enjoy, but you've probably seen those too many times, because I can't, there's just stuff that I'm like, oh yeah, I like that movie, but I've seen it so many times, I can't rewatch it
again. Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, it's like, how many times, like, I got it.
Like, when even The Office is annoying to have on in the background, like, there's issues, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that a bunch, too. Yeah, so it's like, background noise, like, I'm almost to the point where, like, sometimes, like, background noise is just like, yeah, I'm just gonna throw on like this news network for like, I already know what they're gonna talk about. Maybe there'll be like one or two bits of information that are new, but like all the major information I got from like online or like YouTube clips of different news broadcasts throughout the day. So it's like they're just gonna repeat all the shit that I already know, but like it's just somebody talking in the background that I don't have to pay attention to, but it's just noise.
Yeah, speaking of noise, what's the first category we got here? What are we breaking down?
First category, I mean, you can go any way here, but I guess we'll start with, would you go there? And by this meaning, would you spend your own personal money to travel to this country, city, wherever the episode's located? So in this case, he basically goes to the capital city, and then he goes to where all the 6th century Buddhist temples are, pretty much the two places that he goes.
Mm-hmm. I think when you add the caveat of like spending my own money, I don't think I would only, well, yeah. Well, first of all, you have to factor in for me, like there's other places I'd rather go first. And I think there's other places I'd rather go first just in that region.
You know, right.
Vietnam yeah. being one of them. So yeah, I don't think that I would, but ask me in 10 years, maybe I would, but it's also like, I think, and what he does a good job of, and I think, you know, you stating like this is starkly different than No Reservations is, this was more of like a journalistic endeavor. Like he was going there to shine light on, I mean, maybe that's what the lamp meant. I don't know. But to kind of shine a light on what's going on.
Probably
there.
It was probably like a metaphor for yeah. that. Yeah.
And just almost investigate and see, and you know, along the way you get to the, because I think he was a big believer in that, you know, a lot, you can talk about a lot at the dinner table. And so yeah. like talking to all those different people and like sharing their food is, I mean, that's obviously the roots of the show, but, yeah, I don't know that it would be like a fun place to go, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
It's definitely a place that like you would consider, at least for me, I would consider going, but there's so many other places in Southeast Asia that I would rather go, and being, and even though this isn't really an excuse because he lived in New York, I guess, but you know, he traveled like 200 some days out of the year. I remember what he was saying, but to, with the United States being like one of the lowest countries in terms of like time off, paid time off, stuff like that, especially if you work for like another employer, to spend like that time off going to a country that's like in political upheaval, not super like, you know, not a great advertisement to lure me in. And like, I'd rather go to Thailand, and, you know, Vietnam would be cool, you know, parts of China too, as well. Like Hong Kong, even though they do have all their civil unrest too, as well. Like, you know, that's a country that I'd, or state.
Yeah,
I would I would really like to visit.
I would actually yeah. like to say that, you know, I think I agree with what Hong Kong's doing. Since I don't play for the NBA, so I'm allowed to say that. You know,
I think
democracy is a good thing.
Yeah, so. we would appreciate all Chinese and Hong Kong listeners. We'd love to hear from you, but
yeah,
I think it's pretty safe to say that what's going on, I'm gonna side with the Hong Kong people.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cut and dry, unless you're, you know, somebody who works for Nike or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
LeBron.
Yeah. Hey, he doesn't speak out on social issues, so.
Right. Yeah. 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 Just
convenient ones.
Yeah. We're going to bookmark that topic because it's probably going to happen in like 3 weeks when the NBA season starts up again. Like, we'll see what he's speaking out about then. And I do appreciate anybody who, like, there was a thing that came out on Twitter. I forget what the article was. It was some probably NBA puff piece or whatever. But then, like, you get into the comments section, and they're like, oh, yeah. What about Hong Kong, though? Like, they were just like,
yeah,
coming
no,
out.
It's a
and
fair
it's,
point.
Yeah, it's completely
valid. And it is
valid.
Great that, like, you know, athletes use their voice to speak out on things, but it's just bizarre that, like, that was obviously something in the forefront. It directly impacted the NBA, and there was a chance to really make a statement there, and you realize that, like, maybe it's just easier to speak out on things.
Well, it's that, but also the fact that, like, and to go back into this topic, you know, Daryl Morey, this all started when Daryl Morey, who's the GM of the Houston Rockets, basically came out and put a tweet out. Like, I forget the exact, but it's basically like, I stand with the people of Hong Kong. Like,
yeah.
Shit that's happening over there to them is wrong. And then that started kind
shouldn't of... Shouldn't be controversial, by the way.
Right. And then, like, all this backlash started because there's all the, you know, all the American interest in basically getting viewership from the Chinese people because there are so many of them, and it helps boost, you know, advertising dollars and ratings and all this stuff. And a lot of the companies are manufacturing their products there, you know, Nike and all them specific, you know, Nike specifically, but a whole bunch of others. But when he came out and was just basically like, basically tried to say that, you know, Daryl Morey, who's an MIT graduate, as well as I think he went to like Northwestern too, for like undergrad or something like that, like, he didn't know what he was talking about. And I was like, nah, man. Nah. Yeah, he went to one of the best universities that we have and got a degree from there. And he doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. Come on, man. And that's kind of the part where it's like, athletes, yeah, they're people too. Like, they have opinions. Their opinions aren't all going to align with everybody else's. Like, and that's perfectly fine. And they have a right to speak out. Like, I never understood the whole, like, you're an athlete, you should just play. And it's like, well, yeah. You're also a person. Like, they have thoughts. They can have independent thought.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you want to get into a debate with, like, an MIT grad who's, like, I forget what his degree is, but, like, it even, like, relates to that. It's, like, economics and, like, fucking world economics or some shit like yeah. that. It's just, like, come on, man. So, I don't know. That's a digression. That's going to happen a lot. But,
Burma.
Back to Burma. But, yeah, so, like, going through the episode, so one of the things, you know, there was a couple things that I found, too, before we get into some of the other categories. So, the footage, like, whatever they used to shoot it, and this is 2013, so, like, the equipment's good, but, I mean, there's obviously leaps. Like, it was all, like, clear. Like, it wasn't grainy. And there's some TV shows that I've watched recently where you watch the first couple episodes and you're like, did this get shot with, like, an iPhone camera from, like, 2012? Like, yeah. What are you doing? Like, what film stock did you, like, what's going on here? So, like, I was, like, looking, I was like, this might be, like, a little, like, kind of grainy and not, like, whatever yeah. they were using, it was.
Yeah, 0.0 clear. Does a good job, for sure.
I know we mentioned it earlier, like Obama visiting Myanmar. I don't remember that ever happen. Like, I don't remember that popping up on the news. Like, I don't remember. Like, right. I remember, like, he makes an appearance later on in Vietnam. Like, I distinctively remember that happening.
Yep.
But I do not remember, like, and this probably all happened roughly, I mean, maybe not, because, I mean, Obama did travel, like, quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
I feel like. Because at first I was like, oh, well, they probably shot this at the same time they did kind of the sit down in Vietnam. But no, I think that was actually two separate trips now that I look on, like, thinking about the dates that they would have shot stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, that episode's not till, like, season 5 or something like that.
Yeah, it's much.
So, yeah, it's probably not the same. But in terms of, like, I don't know shit about Myanmar. Like, this is the most, like, I've ever learned about it. The most I probably ever will. It's just, there's just no real relation to it from a societal or standpoint, really, from, like, aside from, like, the topics that you touched on. But, like, we don't have any, like, connection. The United yeah. States and Myanmar, like, just don't have a big connection. But kind of going into some of the other categories, and I kind of stepped on this a little bit, like, one thing, you know, that I learned from this episode was basically the political impression was still going on even when they were filming this. It was just on the outside of the country, like they mentioned, where the center was the part that was getting opened up. I don't know, did you pick up anything, like, anything learn specific anything? Yeah, like, aside from that,
I thought it was really interesting that, you know, they literally, like, I guess they, no one could have cameras up until a few years ago.
Yeah.
And so he talked about the fact that it's only been a couple of years, but, like, people were kind of used to it. But every now and then people would be, like, a little skittish. There were people that they wanted to be on the show but wouldn't do it because they thought they'd go to jail or maybe even knew.
Because it's too soon. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing I learned is that you can eat fermented tea. I didn't know. I didn't know that was a thing. And then also, I've never seen.
Yeah, go ahead. That looked like it would just make me shit. Like, right okay. away. Like, condensed milk in tea. And I know that's, like, a thing, like, Vietnam and all that. Like, different, like, levels of, like, condensed milk. Like, oh, I don't think that's going to agree with my system.
Yeah. So that's funny that we're so different. Because, like, I looked at all the tea. Like, basically being the color of coffee, and I was like, I want to try that. Like, give me all the tea. And it was, like, in, like, dirty metal containers, like, being poured, you know, in, like, all food porn style, where it's, like, you can just see it, like, a log pour from one cup to the
other. Yeah, I had no issues with that, and I would try it if I was there, but, like, when I saw it, I was like, oof, that's probably, like, that could wipe out your whole day if that doesn't sit right in your system.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, sorry, I stepped on part of what you were saying there.
No, it's all good.
Kind of best rewatchable scene, or like best scene in the episode. I kind of already mentioned this, but it was the first opening scene. Basically, like him, it's like him in the dark, and then they do kind of a voiceover, and then there's a quick cutaway to something else, and then it cuts back to him, and then he's like in like a yellow light. I just thought it was like the perfect way to, like, you're basically starting a completely new series with a different tone. And then it just seemed perfect to me. Like, I don't know who thought of that idea, whose idea it was to shoot it that way or what have you. There's clearly like four or five different meanings to way, like, I mean, you touched on it with like shining the light on like the new political stance in the country and everything. I just thought it was perfect. And I don't know how else you could even open a series like this without doing that. Like,
yeah, I respect that opinion. You're wrong. But no, I thought, just because I feel like there's this connection, and I mean, he would always talk about like essentially being drunk late night and just eating like tubes of meat, you know, or street food, one of the two. Usually they're both the same. But so for me, I think it was like him like drinking with the musicians, kind of in that street market, and then like the Ferris wheels. I don't know if there's another category for this. Should I go into this?
No, go. Yeah.
Okay. So I assume everybody's like watching this along, but like if you are, the idea that there's just dudes like powering this like hamsters, and that's how you get spun around, and then they literally just jump and like hold it down going the other direction.
And they're in flip-flops, by the way.
Yeah, they're in flip-flops.
Or barefoot. But most of them seem to have flip-flops on.
Yeah, and then you see one and he goes, yeah, they keep getting bigger and bigger. And then you see larger and larger ones and they're like ducking so that they don't get hit. Like, there has to be deaths from those guys.
How many? Yeah, I was like, how many people do you think like die? Like
spinning it.
Yeah.
Because I think you're fine if you're on it. It looked fine.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, we have problems with like...
like carnies?
Carnival, like Ferris wheels.
Is that hate speech? Is carny hate speech?
Not yet.
Okay.
I don't think that's been added to the list of things that you're not allowed to say.
Yeah. But like, yeah. Like
political correctness lexicon.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say a group of traveling meth addicts. like, those things break. So I don't know, though. I mean.
Yeah. I just wrote down for the Ferris wheel part, fuck that Ferris wheel. No way am I getting on that fucking Ferris wheel. There's just no way.
You know what's funny is I wrote down, Ray, would you ride the Ferris wheel? Because I knew
would
never.
No fucking way I'm riding that thing. Yeah, you see that and you're kind of like just in awe when you're watching like that scene. It's like a 5-minute part or so. And you're just kind of like, your jaw dropped. You're just like, what the fuck? And it's just such a stark contrast to like, you know, the safety rules and regulations that we have here in America, which... and rightfully so, most of them are not like safe enough or strict enough in terms of stuff like that. Like the fact that there could be a traveling like circus or carnival where it's just shit just pops out of like flatbed trucks for like 3 days in like a parking lot of, you know, some strip mall or whatever, and then closes back down and moves on to the next city. And it's like, the fact that we have that is just kind of mind-boggling when you really like think about it from like an outside perspective. You're like, this just makes no sense.
No, it's a really weird business model.
Yeah. So then to have like these rickety like Ferris wheels that probably look like, I mean, if we had anything like that in this country, it's like in black and white footage probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Like 1930s fairs and shit.
Like moving at the wrong rate of speed.
Yeah, know, like yeah. Next kind of line is, and I don't know if you have one for this, best quote, or if there's anything that kind of like he said that stood out. Like if you do, like, it's hard because like you're paying attention to like everything else, so it's like you're trying to pick up on, you know, it like was, anything they said.
It was I kind of touched on it earlier. Sorry, I keep getting away from the mic here, but I touched on it earlier, and it's kind of at the end of the episode and he's, you know, doing his wrap up thing. And it was about, you know, like things are like this now. They seem to be better. But I think he said, if there's one thing we do know, it's that the toothpaste can definitely go back in the tube.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like the kind of the final part of the episode.
Right, exactly, yeah. And I think that's, I was just like, wow, that's right. Like, and you kind of think about it from just, you know, our country's going through a lot of change. A lot of it I agree with. But you do wonder, like, when there's any kind of change like that, things can change the wrong way sometimes, you know? And that's...
Yeah. I think we all kind of forget that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not always good.
We always associate change with, like, a positive move forward. But it's like, no, sometimes it can be bad.
Yeah,
like,
and that's what he was kind of saying there, you know? And I kind of... Did he kind of point this to you, but that kind of their... I could never get it connected whether or not, like, their type of Buddhism, like, almost made them able to deal with an oppressive dictator more easily than... That kind of get said, or am I just reading into that too much?
You could read into it that way. Like, I mean, it's tough because, like, Buddhism, it's like there, you know, there's so many different gods, I mean, based on the religion or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, is it, yeah, I mean, there's a way that they could deal with the oppression because they could assign it to this god, mm-hmm, or this, you know.
Yeah. And I think he broke it down as another thing he said is that what at least that particular sect believed was that, like, life is all about reincarnation, and, you know, you're suffering until you die and then you're born again, essentially, is the way I took it. But please don't quote me on that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about religion and I have no idea, you know?
Yeah, and it's one that doesn't really exist here much in America. I mean, it's few and far between, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of Buddhists. But for me, mine was the first line of dialogue that you even hear in the episode, and it's basically, it just, he comes out and he's, chances are you haven't been to this place. Completely accurate. And it's just, I don't know, it was just, that wasn't, I don't know what I was expecting from, like, the first line of dialogue, but it was kind of, it was just like, oh yeah, I get to spend an hour with Bourdain again. And it's just, I don't know, it just kind of made me feel like Red in Shawshank. He's like, I get to see my friend Andy again.
Yeah, okay.
And it's just kind of like, yeah, I get to spend time with Bourdain, somebody who I've never met or anything like that, so I can't, you know, can't really say, like, he's a friend, but it was just kind of like, oh, I get to spend time with this person again who I like, cool. So that was kind of what stuck out to me the most on that. There's no guest host for this episode. I mean, that is a category that'll probably come up later. As we do more of these episodes, there's ones where he has different kind of people that travel with him for the entire episode. Here he just had a handful of people, you know, popping up for different segments, different interviews.
I would like to, and I just want to say, because, you know, Ray and I don't always agree, and I would like to say that I would travel with Philippe. He seemed like a cool dude. He was French. I liked him. But he doesn't fall into the kind of guest host category where he's, you know, because I think we meet him halfway through the episode, right? And he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
In the way that when you're filming a TV show, people just happen to be there. But, you know.
Yeah. Because that was his old boss at the restaurant that he cooked at in New York, Le Hal, which when he died, like, people, that restaurant hadn't been renovated to whatever concept was taking it over yet. So, like, they still had the marquee and stuff out, and people were putting up notes and stuff on the fence and the construction fence and wall and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I mean, if he came out with, like, a show on his own, like, yeah, I would for certain give it a shot.
Yeah, he seemed cool.
He seemed cool. He was knowledgeable. But one thing that stood out when kind of, like, he popped up was, you can get really fucking lost in Southeast Asia and just go completely off the grid. Like, I don't think you can go off the grid, like, anywhere else, really. But apparently, like, if you can somehow make it, you know, to Southeast Asia, if you're on the run from the authorities, like, you can just get lost in fucking these random just countries and cities and stuff like that. And, like, as long as you're cool with probably, like, sleeping in a shack on the ground, like, you could basically just live there for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Because, like, they mentioned, like something to do with, like, I think it was when they're talking about, like, people just having, like, cameras and stuff. And it was, like, at the time, like, 3G was the thing. And it just kind of made me, I was like, oh, yeah, 3G. we're coming up on like five, but we just don't have like the infrastructure here in America. So, but yeah, when he popped up, it was definitely like, oh yeah, Southeast Asia. There's just remote places that like people can't find you if you don't want to be found.
Yeah. You can just go to Montana, right? You know,
people can find you in Montana. It's going to take them a while. Cause like,
what about the Pacific Northwest? They haven't found Bigfoot yet. So I'm just throwing that out there, man.
Yeah. Well, that one dude thought he found, well, all right. No, he didn't think that he found the Loch Ness Monster. He did come out and say it was a catfish. Some dude was like taking photos at the lake or whatever. And it was like this big ass catfish that he took a photo of. And then like, there's some resident expert on the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, it might be like, it kind of looks Photoshop about the integrity of the photo and stuff. It's very strange. It's something that popped up on the Yahoo news feed when you're scrolling down and you're like,
yeah,
I'll read this for 5 minutes and you get sucked in and you're like, but yeah, you could do that as well. Yeah, they haven't found Bigfoot. Will they ever find Bigfoot? That's the question. Didn't the guy come out and say like it was me in a fucking monkey costume and I was walking around?
Yeah, that original video, I'm pretty sure.
Or whatever.
I think they've debunked it or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Debunked it.
It's kind of a formal term.
If Bigfoot even existed though, wouldn't he be like, I mean, he would be murdering people, right?
No.
Why? Wait, he's a vegan?
Well, yeah. We don't know. That's the thing.
See, I'm just saying, like, people go, like, wouldn't, like, if you went looking for Bigfoot, like, in theory, like, Bigfoot, like, once you even got close, like, it's just game over. Like, we should be missing, like, a bunch of people.
Or he's, like, really skittish, you know?
Well, he's just climbing in trees and hiding like a bear?
Yeah. It's also, like, the way that we talk about it, it's always just one guy. You know, it's Bigfoot.
Oh, what, you think it's a species?
Well, that it would have to be. That's how things exist. It's not, like... So with that theory, like it's what, like a 1,000-year-old skunk ape that's just out there living,
true.
Hasn't died right. yet.
Yeah.
So they got to be point. Like, he's got to be like mating and there's got to be more of them. So like, how have they not found them? You know, what are we talking about?
We just got stuck on Bigfoot.
Burma.
Yeah. All right.
Myanmar. Excuse
me. Moving back. Other hosts that kind of, or I mean, they weren't really hosts, but I found, it was like the second interview that he did. It was this this lady. She was kind of like a food critic. I think her name was Ma Thingy. And I probably am not saying or spelling that right. But he seemed to be incredibly bored and incredibly hungover during that scene to me.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Well, like I kind of stopped taking her so seriously when he was like, he essentially stated without stating it that she was kind of, I don't want to say like a loyalist, what's the term, but essentially supported
the government, this
restrictive government,
right?
Just
had to find somebody on the
other
side.
And that might be why I was bored, because like maybe he just knew she was full of shit,
right? Yeah.
Or he was hungover, because that was can we talk about the choo-choo?
Are we not hold there? On hold
okay.
on
okay. All right,
yeah we'll
all
get
right.
there.
I didn't even say the word.
The other person that kind of popped up was he had this guy from prison who was blind in his right eye.
That was wild.
And that just made me think about third world prison versus like American prison versus also like lockdown inside your own home.
Yeah.
Like how the three are like, I mean, they're on the same line, but just very different points on that line.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like anyone that's like, it feels like I'm in a prison. Like go talk to that guy.
Yeah. He was in a third world country prison. Like,
was that the guy that was there for 89 days? That was a different journalist. There was the journalist with the, I don't know, I can only, I mean, who, let's just say it's,
right.
He had a lot of tea stains on his teeth.
No, I think he was sooner in the episode.
Okay.
Because this dude was like, he was kind of like by the ocean almost.
Yeah.
Or something. Or
I mean, we should rewatch this thing 4 times before we record this podcast.
No. I mean, the problem is like, so you can't even get some of the names because you're like, you're writing it and you're like, how do I spell that? But no, it's just the guy who he was in the prison. I don't know how long he was there, but yeah, like he's basically like blind in his right eye and you're just like, cause that happened, I think in prison, fighting people. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like third world country prison. Like, I don't, there's
yeah,
no
he
way.
Talks, yeah. He talks about they got meat once a week and it wasn't meat from it was meat from the head and the feet, basically, is I think how he described it.
Yeah, like the leftovers.
No good meat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of all I had for guests.
Shout out to Union Supply, former prison food supplier.
Yeah, that was a company that basically ships supplies to different prisons around the country that at one point the company that we worked for kind of hired people to like package those things. It's a strange business model. I don't know.
Yeah. Some of that stuff was like, it was like a Costco in there, kind of, you know?
You went in there. I never went in there.
Yeah. It was like, they had like Doritos and like ramen noodles and like all this stuff.
The commissary.
Yeah. Like this is like, if you get that $10 every week and you're in your thing and like you get the good stuff. I don't know if you ever watched those videos where they essentially like cook in prison. And they'll like,
I have not made it to that rabbit hole yet.
Oh, it's kind of cool, man. Like they'll like crunch up a bunch of Doritos and then like, I don't know. We can go down that rabbit hole some other time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not there yet, man.
Yeah.
And kind of the last category that we had, food you'd want to try or food you'd want to eat. For me, I had they kind of alluded to it being quail, but wasn't sure. They said maybe it was like quail. It was the deep fried bird that they had at like the carnival, the fair thing that they were at when it was him and his former boss.
Yeah. Oh, and they're talking about like, he's like, that's a good, yeah.
Like good beak.
Yeah.
And stuff. I was like, yeah, I'd eat that. Give me that right now. I'll eat that.
To say I wouldn't eat that. Mine was the, and I kind of wrote this down and I have terrible handwriting, but it's like Balega or Balinga, and it was the dish. It was like almost like a mix between ramen and pho,
but oh, it looks okay.
So much better than pho. Like I'm already out on pho to begin with. Like I know that's probably controversial. Like I get it's popular, blah blah, but like give me ramen.
I don't think it's as popular. Like people mention it, but I wonder how many people mention I've actually eaten.
Yeah,
it,
like I don't want to put 15 basil leaves in a broth to make it taste good. Like, just give me ramen. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather just have ramen too, as well. Okay. So yeah, that,
come here for strong, hard hitting opinions.
Yeah.
That's why you're on this podcast.
That's all I had for kind of the categories, but yeah, let's get into, which this can kind of also go back to best or most rewatchable scene. The entire train scene in like the back half of the episode when he's basically going from the capital city to the Buddhist temples, and it's this, and he said it's supposed to take about 12 hours, and your two choices are this train, which apparently loses wheels routinely and frequently derails, or their shitty in-country airline that the chances are pretty good that that plane's going to go down. And he chose the train, which means that's how bad the plane system is in Burma, is that he chose a fucking train for 12 hours over a plane.
And I mean, I've been dying to talk about this because it was like the craziest part of the episode, but literally the train, they're just hopping around. It looks like the worst way to spend 12 hours. I mean, I'm sure there are worse ways. I know there are, but like at least there was beer. I did see beer. Somehow Bourdain passed out like way easier than I would have. And like the Philippe guy even like commented on it. He's like, what was he drinking? Like he's like already asleep, you know? And the other guy's like, he'd be like me, like he's wide awake. He's like, I need like 15 more beers. So
yeah, it was, and I wrote a bunch of stuff down. It's a French engine from like the 1970s, and the entire trip was supposed to take 10 hours and 75 stops.
75. I wrote that down.
Is what they said. But at one point, like I think when they stopped to get food, like when they kind of stopped in that one stop and it was like morning, it was after the night scene, they said like they were like 19 hours into the trip.
So they must have had problems, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't... Or if that was just kind of like, you know, misquote or something. I don't know. But yeah, they distinctively said like 19 hours in the 10-hour trip. And I don't know if that was him just trying to be like facetious or like just staying fucking forever. Like yeah. I didn't realize how bad this was going to be. But yeah, in terms of him sleeping, like maybe you just get like so bored and so tired. Like that's the only thing you can do. Like when either you just get blackout drunk or you're just like, there's nothing else for me to do. Because like it's not like you couldn't listen to music or anything.
No, I mean, I fully support getting blackout drunk in that kind of scenario. Like, there's that's not going to be less enjoyable, you know? Like, no. If you're drunk, you're going to have more fun doing that.
I thought, like...
I could feel my, like, teeth rattling, though, when I was watching that. So they shot it really well, and they even did the shot of the bathroom, and he was talking about how, like, if you're standing over it taking a piss, all of a sudden, like, your shoulders are at the ceiling, and you just have a concussion, you know?
Yeah, basically. Like, I can't sleep on planes, so I don't know how the fuck...
Can you imagine trying to take a crap on that train, and it hits a bump, and, like, do you just fly off the toilet?
Wouldn't you just be better off in that...
Hanging out the window?
Oh, no, in that scenario, like, going to where, like, the cars connect, and just kind of, like... Because there's usually, like, a rail, or, like, holding something, just, like, take off your pants or shorts or whatever, and then, like, just hold onto the rail and just let it just...
I think that's a terrible idea. I think you end up getting hit by the train. I think you're going under.
Oh, no, but, like, I think if you're on, like, at least one side of, like, the connector, and you're holding on, though, like, you know, two-handing it,
yeah,
and you're just letting it just fall out, like...
If
you hit, like, a bump or whatever, like, you're going to go up with, like, the train. Like, yeah, you're not...
You know what else, though? It's, like...
You're not enclosed in a cabin that you're going to, like, hit the ceiling.
Yeah, no, you're right on that. But, like, there's also a safety to being in a little box, you know, where you don't, like, fly off. But, like, the other part of it is, too, I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but Myanmar doesn't look like the driest place or the coolest place.
Nah, so the Southeast idea Asia, of, like, man. Chugging... Monsoon, like, season.
Yeah, like, chugging 12 beers and then having to... You know,
yeah.
Nature calls. Like, that's not a easy, you know what I mean?
But, like, you have to resign yourself to, like, before you step foot on that train, you're like, at some point, I am probably going to have to shit on this train ride. Because, like, 10 hours is a long time.
Yeah, and you're traveling with, like, weird food and stuff.
Yeah.
This, dude, I'm not getting on that train.
No, I'm not getting on that train, but...
But I don't want to fly a plane that crashes all the time.
No, because he called it...
Because,
like,
hey...
He called it a coffin, like a flying plane, coffin, and that's never...
Yeah, one plane crash is too many.
Right, yeah. The other things I kind of noticed, too, as well, like, when they were talking about, like, the derailments and stuff, it's like, so apparently you just have to be lucky in, like, what car that you get, so it doesn't lose a wheel and, like, the train fucking slides off.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? It's basically a carnival ride that looks like a goddamn fucking roller coaster. And I don't really like roller coasters anyways.
Well, even getting on, I don't know if you remember this, but their car that they were supposed to be on, just they were like, yeah, it broke down. So
they're supposed to be in, like, seat now. The dining car or something, weren't they? Or something like that?
They had a sleeper car or, you know, like, I guess the nicer version.
But the entire worst part of this train ride, and it looks fucking miserable, is... At night, they decide to speed up. So, like, they're just, like, chugging along a little bit, and it's like, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, it basically looks like a, you know, like a kid ride at, like, an amusement park, you know, for somebody who, you know, is under 4 feet high. And it's like, oh, we're on the train, do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. And then, like, darkness falls, and they're like, yeah, let's max this thing out. And they're doing, like, 60 miles an hour in the dark, like, bouncing around everywhere and shit. And it's like... Wait, you're going to speed up when you can't see anything? Like, what's the logic behind that?
Well, I mean, I don't think you have to, like, steer the train, Ray. Yes, it's on rails.
I mean, apparently some of it is, but not all of it.
No, yeah, it's a really good point. They just don't care about you sleeping at all. Like, that's just...
I was more concerned about, like,
surviving. Although he was up on top in that little sleeping quarter thing. Somehow he fell asleep.
It seemed like that maybe it leveled out. At that point, I wasn't bouncing around too much.
I would rather be, if I'm doing that, I would rather be laying down like that as opposed to, like, in a chair.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I just, it does seem like it would be better. I thought, like, they had a bunch of landscape shots, too, like, kind of when the sun was setting. Like, those are really cool.
Yeah. I noticed, too, that they used a lot of the shots from this in the intro. That would, like, for, you know, when I was watching the intro to the next episode, there's, like, a lot of shots that I recognize. Like, there's a shot, like, down low by the train as it's moving through, and, like, just a couple other things.
That's kind of, like, all shows, though, like, because it's, like, this is all we have, so we got to cut this shit together to, like, come up with something. Would you, and they said the train ride was, I guess, 600 kilometers to get there. But which would you rather do if you had to choose, the Ferris wheel or the train?
Ferris wheel all day. Because it's over in 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Yeah, I'm taking Ferris wheel.
Like, the train is like, you're...
That does look fucking miserable.
Yeah, and, like, what do you even get at the end?
yeah, you're just in like this.
Like, I mean, it would be cool to see all those temples. I'm not saying it wouldn't, but
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot to go through.
Yeah. A couple other notes.
Can I get like a racing harness?
Right.
You know, like we're just strapped into the seat.
So a few other like just random notes that we just haven't touched on. So we'll just cover, you know, try and cover them here. The first interview that he did, he looks just like super young, but also, and this is probably, and this is something that I think you'll eventually pick up on too. And then I remember is that like when he starts doing the show, like basically the day of, like he gets off a plane, like he just looks terrible. And then like, you'll see another scene and it's like, oh my God, like clearly got like a full night's sleep or something like that. Like, cause he just looked like hung over his shit, and it was probably just jet lag really.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
yeah, there's actually, I mean, not to delve too much into my personal life, but I was watching 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days last night.
You and my wife can have a podcast on that.
Yeah. Well, maybe we will. Obviously I'm super entertaining. And anyway, that, like
that'll be on a different feed. I can promise you that.
But the, like there's this kind of homely chick that, you know, she's going over there with her baby to meet this guy from England. And like you see her before she leaves and like she looks one way, and then there's like so much that happens like the day they get there, then they're getting the baby ready for bed, and it's all like she hasn't taken a shower, she hasn't put on makeup, and she hasn't, like she's just got off a plane.
Right, yeah.
And she just looks, it's like you feel bad for her because like you just look awful. You can't look good. You can't look good.
No, I mean any plane ride like over probably six to eight hours, like you just kind of feel like shit.
Yeah, you get like this, I don't know about you, but I get like a weird like sweat.
Like yeah, you just feel stale.
Yeah, you're just like...
Like the first thing you want to do is just shower.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you're like, just give me the hotel as fast as I can so I can shower and just feel
human
better.
Again.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like a dirty dog. One thing I would like to bring up since we're kind of the wild card phase.
This is just random shit that we saw that doesn't really fit in any category.
Looked really good. I'd just like to shout out...
I don't like prawns, so...
Okay, well, that's obviously...
I don't like shrimp. I don't like prawns.
Why not?
I just don't like the taste. I don't like the texture. I don't like the flavor.
Okay. I mean, it is different than lobster, crab, all the
others.
Lobster's pretty close when you overcook it.
Yeah, I also don't like lobster either, but...
Wow.
Crab, yeah, all in on crab. Lobster, like, there's just no flavor to it.
Yeah, you get it in mayonnaise or butter.
Or butter, yeah. Then, like, okay, then give me something that's better. That I don't have to dump all this shit on it just to make it taste good. And even then, like, once you do that, like, it doesn't really taste that good. Like,
yeah, because really, I mean, the best way I like to eat lobster is, like, a lobster roll. And
oh, that's just but then soaked it's like, in it's, mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, the one I had recently where it was, like, kind of the butter version. You know, there's, like, two schools where it's, like, either just, you know, clarified butter on there.
Yeah.
Or, like, kind of lightly dressed in, like, mayo and a couple other things. So this was, like, the butter version. And it was really just, I was just eating... toasted bread with buttered lobster on it.
Yeah.
Like, of course that's going to be good, you know?
Right.
I just ate butter.
Yeah. Lobster roll here or there, I could deal with, but that's my extent of kind of be ordering a lobster. No matter what country you're in, the bus seems like just the worst mode of transportation ever. Yeah. I have yet to ever see...
a good bus ride?
There is one... on an episode that comes up later. I think is it when they're in Kenya? And this is way down the line. And even then it's like a taxi bus.
Yeah. Anthony Bourdain hates Creed. That's another fun fact.
Yeah. I had that written down too as well.
Like, yeah. Really hates Creed.
Hard pass on that punk band though. I mean, hey, you can play instruments and you're doing what you like to do. Fully support you there, but the music itself, never want to hear
yeah,
again.
I want to eat the fermented tea salad, raise all out on that. There were also a ton of different pickles, and I like what they did there with kind of personalizing your dishes and just all the different things you could add to them. I thought that was cool. I'm a big sauce guy, you know.
Yeah, I thought, and another thing that I kind of picked up, like, and they briefly even touched on it, he apparently stayed in like some old hotel that may no longer be a hotel, but it looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's like a brief cutaway.
You know what we didn't talk about? Do you remember the pastries that they had? Like all those cool pastries that they brought out? It was the same scene as the, I can't pronounce it, but the, anyway, they were like all these cool different pastries that they brought out and they looked amazing. Like they were really ornate.
And oh, yeah.
I would like to try those pastries. That's...
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, if really when you get into like pastry, especially in like, I feel like Asia, like it's, how long were the French there?
Yeah.
To kind of like show, like, and they take that and they do their own thing to it, but like the baseline is like, y'all learn the French way first and then like do your own thing, or you just doing your own thing from scratch. The smooching sound gets you a waiter.
Yeah, I wrote that
down too. That's super strange.
That was really weird. And he's like, it's going to take you a while to get used to. Because it is like,
you know, I don't think I'd ever get used to that.
Like, that doesn't make me.
No. Like, that's like catcalling in America.
Like, I feel like you would lose your job for doing that. Like, they would find you, shame you on Twitter, and then you're getting fired because you smooched at a waitress.
Yeah, that's super strange. Other things I had listed was just kind of like, I wondered what the parts of the country that are off limits look like.
Yeah, you do have that thought, and you're like, is it just because it
was? Because there's structure, there's buildings and stuff, because it's the capital city, and then he goes to the, you know, this temple place, and that's where it's all the temples everybody touches on. Like, they moved everybody out because they're trying to make this like a tourist destination. So they kick like everybody out who lived there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, go, here's some land over here, move it. And it just makes you wonder, like, is the rest of the country just like shacks made out of bamboo? Like, what's,
yeah, what does it look like?
What is that?
He does touch on that. It's essentially, there's essentially a war going on between a certain ethnic group and the government, at least the way I heard it.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I am looking forward to some of the other episodes where I don't have to speak on political issues I don't understand. And it just puts me in a weird position because I really don't, I mean, I can't even, you know, begin to understand what's really going on there. I mean, you get the cursory understanding through the episode, but
yeah.
You know, there's some other episodes where it's just a little more, it's a little lighter, you know.
Yeah, like the next episode. Yeah. Bourdain does a really good job, and I didn't really know how to describe this, but he has at times like an oddness to him where he gets really like almost like poetic, like quoting like some like book he read by some author that's, you know, many, many years ago, and like it's some so obscure that like you would never, like the odds of you coming across that book that he read or like slim to none.
Yeah. Especially me coming across it.
Well, just anybody, even like if you're an avid reader, and it's just like, it's not off putting, but it just, he kind of makes you want to read shit that you would never read. Kind of in a way. Not that I'm ever going to probably do that, but yeah, I mean, that's just kind of, I don't know. That's probably speaking more to like his charm as like a TV host personality person.
Yeah, no, I think you definitely, I mean, that's what's cool about the show, right? Is that you get done with it and you're like, wow, that was really cool. Like, I'd love to visit there. I learned a lot, and I don't know, it could kind of, you just feel like you went to a new, like you feel like you kind of went there. So
yeah.
And that's kind of the whole point of the show. But it's not like you went there and saw like, these are the top three waterfalls. You know, it's not that kind of show, which is great. It's more like, hey, this place is kind of fucked up. I'm going to tell you about it. But even though it is messed up, the people here are great.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I had was, and this is, I mean, this rolls over to every episode, but it has to be weird eating on camera because, like, a camera is like almost a universal symbol for importance. Like, if you see somebody with a camera following them or pointed at them, you're like, what's going on over there? Like, you just naturally look.
Who is that?
Yeah. And you have like all these questions and like you stare and all this stuff. And it has to be weird. Like, cause there's that one scene, he's just eating by himself, but it's like the camera's on him, but you can see the people on the sides and they're all like looking over like, what's going on here? Like, who's this?
Especially
dude?
Given the history in the country too. Like, it's probably a little alarming. Like, there's this white guy here and there's cameras.
Yeah, like
what's going on?
Yeah, so that was kind of like, I don't know if I could, like, I mean, maybe you do it so much and eventually it just becomes norm, but it's just, yeah, I don't know if you ever really get used to, like, eating and somebody's got, like, a camera, like, yeah. 4 feet from your face.
I'm weirded out and I'm talking into a microphone right now.
Yeah. So that's kind of all I had for random stuff. I don't know if you have anything I didn't cover over there.
I mean, I think we've gone through it all. I did write down fuck and suck my dick when I read it as I was watching them eat that other dish that we talked about. I don't know if that elevates the conversation on the podcast, but
drives it home.
Yeah.
Drives it
home. Yeah. Just, that was just my thoughts. I did. Oh, the, all the different salads they had when they sat down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a lot of like salads and, you know, being American, I always think of like a salad as
lettuce
dressing cold. And these were like warm dressings poured over cabbage and other things.
And onion, like there was like onions in there, and they like looked bean really sprouts, good.
And I was like I want to try all of that. Street food, I wrote that down. We kind of covered that. I
think with the market that they were. Yeah.
If it gave us a little diarrhea, we'd go for it.
Yeah, I think that's got to be expected when you're in a place like Myanmar. Like, yeah, at some point, like you're probably going to get food poisoning. Like, I mean.
Yeah, and then just that was the worst train ever.
Yeah. Can't emphasize that enough.
No.
There are other train scenes like in future episodes, but they're not like that.
Yeah, and if you're one of the sickos that goes to the airplane bathroom barefooted or with your socks on.
That's so strange. Like, what are you doing?
You would not, if you go into that, like, you go into that trick, because no one's peeing in that toilet.
No.
Because it's all over the place.
It's basically a porta potty.
Yeah. And you can't hit it, though. That's my point. Like, even if you're trying your best, you're not hitting that toilet all
would
the
time. Would you be able, would you have a better chance of, like, imagine if it was a game show and, like, you know, they're doing that, and then they have like the cup like underneath. It's like fill it up to the line, right?
Oh, that's see now that's great.
Would you have a better chance of doing that, like if you were drunk, so like you were kind of moving with the train, versus being sober and like kind of fighting it? Like, you know, it's basically like the same thing as like being on a fishing boat. Like, you know, you need some time to get like your sea legs.
Well, then I'd be seasick. So, that's a good question. I'm almost. Maybe it's the way you presented it, but I'm kind of leaning towards having a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah, that's what I
because
mean.
Because I think, yeah, in a weird way, then you're like just performance kinda like enhancing. Yeah.
Going with the train, so.
It's a fun game show, though. I mean, we should do that.
I'm just pretty sure Japan probably has already done this.
Yeah.
They have some weird shit that they do for game shows.
Yeah, but it's entertaining. They also have, like, vending machines for used panties, so.
They have, Japan is just a strange, strange place.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole lot of, like, tentacle porn is a thing, because I think he touches on that when he goes to Japan. That episode gets super weird, super quick. I forget what season that is. That's like season.
Should we tease the next episode or?
I mean, we can't. Like, you know, it's no secret. Like, the next episode is Koreatown, and yeah. So I mean, that's. First episode that he does for the series in America. I mean, it's basically a small, I think he said it's like a three square mile, or is it 12? I know I have it written down. I have to
probably
find
three.
It. Just, and it's just in the middle of like Los Angeles, like not a awesome part. It's just like, I mean, it's pretty close to like South Central, I believe.
Yeah. It borders it. Yeah.
To the map that they showed or whatever, but that'll be the next episode. That we cover on the Parts Unknown. Any final thoughts on Myanmar at all? On your end, I don't really have any.
I think we covered it all.
I think we covered it pretty good. So, yeah. So, you know, make sure to check out. Like I said, this will be coming out every Wednesday. These episodes will be coming out. Make sure to check out, you know, the Spoon Mob website. We are actually also going to be ranking these as we go too. So there's a page up on the website where you can go, and not only will all the podcasts on this feed are up on the website too as well. So if you miss one or something like that, you can check them out there on the YouTube channel. They're all going to go up there too, and on the feed from wherever you get your podcasts. But on the website, there is a page that we have. Parts Now Known, and then it's split up so you can see, we're going to rank them as we go through them, so you can see Ben's rankings and mine as well. And I'll have the audio embedded in there too as well, so you can listen to the podcast straight from there too. But it'll get better as we go along. We have more episodes done, and then you can see kind of like where the best episode is versus the worst. So best up top, worst on the bottom. I pretty much already know probably what my worst episode's going to be. There's an episode that I just really fucking hate.
Yeah, and also, you know, I think he might have said this already, but please, you know, rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah.
You know, talk about who could replace me as the host. Trash me. Trash the podcast. Do whatever you need to do. Just give it 5 stars.
If you want a 90-day fiancé podcast between Ben and my wife, who has yet to appear on any episodes, please feel free to let us know as well. We can set that up on a different feed, because that will not be on the Spoon Mob feed.
But, I mean, it could be interesting. So, anyway, I mean, I'd like to shout out to Ray for having me on. I think, like he said, we're going to get better as we go along. This is my first time ever recording a podcast. So, you know, like I said, any feedback is good feedback.
Yeah, you can submit the feedback through the website, email us directly, spoonmob@yahoo.com, send in a direct message through Instagram or any social media platform that we're on. Make sure to follow us on Instagram too as well. But until next time, go ahead and watch the Koreatown episode, and we'll break that down for you. But until then, we'll talk to you guys later.